Nobody in Christendom can sing that except Baptists and Presbyterians. The rest of them can't sing it. And you sang it like you were a bunch of Arminians today. I wonder who has had an accident in his family. Such lugubrious faces I have never seen. Listen, folks, the Lord has saved us. Now, I want you to look at the first verse and get it in your mind, what it says, and then put your book away. And we're going to sing the first verse again as if you believe that you had committed it to the Lord and it was all safe right there. Okay, John, now lead us as we do it right.
All right.
Thank you. That was so much better. And we're going to go to the Lord right now in prayer. Brother Joe Savage, who's a student here and is from the church where our speaker is pastor today. Joe's going to come and lead us in just a moment. There are two or three prayer requests that I have that I need to share with you today. People who've called in and asked us to pray. Folks, that's a great compliment when people start calling in from all over the United States and saying, we hear that you folks pray and pray for people in need. That's wonderful. In the days immediately ahead, we're going to find a way. Paul Fletcher's going to take money out of his own personal account or something, and we're going to fix up those two prayer rooms up there in a really nice way and have a continuing prayer ministry. We're going to put these names on the bulletin board up there so that we'll be praying on a regular basis. Brother Harry Watson, who is the DOM in the city of Las Vegas and who is doing a fabulous work for God out there, has been stricken. He is very, very ill at the point of death. His appendix burst a week ago, and they did not determine it somehow, and he is at the point of death. He is a great man of God doing a marvelous work out there, and they called in, said, would you pray for him today? Brother Jerome Cash, one of our pastors in the state, I didn't even get to talk to him. I don't know what it's about, but I know he wanted us to be in special prayer for them today, and so would you please think about that and be praying for them. And then I just got a hallelujah announcement here. Master Samuel O. Was born, it seems, on Tuesday, March 15th to one of our students, and it says that he is beautiful like his mother, Hyun Suk, and as big as his father, John O. He arrived in the world weighing 8 pounds, 1 ounce, 21 and 3/4 inches long, and they're rejoicing in that, and we do rejoice with them and thank the Lord today. Now, Joe Savage, would you come and voice our prayer to God at this time, please?
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you and praise you so much for the day and just for the life that we have and the call that you've placed upon us. And Father, we do come to you just asking to speak to our hearts today. Father, I lift up Brother Fred to you. And Father, I pray that we'll not walk out of this place the way that we walked in, that God, you will truly speak to our hearts today. God, that is our prayer. And Father, we depend upon you and ask for you to do this today, that your Holy Spirit may sweep our hearts. And Father, that we can put aside anything that we need to put aside, that we can have the confidence and the assurance that you are truly God. And Father, we do lift up these requests that Dr. Patterson referred to. Father, we lift up the one that's sick, the Father, that you will intervene. Father, we know that you are the great physician. And God, we know that all things work together for good. And Father, we know that you're going to take care of that. And Father, we do thank you for the newborn, and as well as the many others that's in our seminary family that may be pregnant or just had their babies recently. Lord, we dedicate those, and we thank you for them. And Father, we do pray for Reverend Cash, whatever situation that he may be in, that God, you will intervene. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity of prayer that we can communicate and talk to you. Now, Father, speak to our hearts as we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. May I make just one announcement in my usual capacity as Minister of Announcements? Each year, Southeastern Seminary has the privilege of distributing a certain amount of grant money that was bestowed on the school some years ago by Mr. and Mrs. Warren Poe. And this money is held in trust, and then the proceeds from it each year are made available to graduates of this school serving in rural church ministry. And we're delighted this year to be able to give grants of $1,000 to each of four of our graduates who are serving in various parts of the country. Gary Rutherford to help in printing literature for his church. Jeff Clemens for materials to help complete the renovation of his old church that he has reopened. Michael Ash for a new PA system and a keyboard in his church, and for Dennis Carey for Bibles, literature, and a training conference. And so these we are required and very grateful to have the opportunity actually to announce in chapel. And it's our way of telling you that once you are out there in the ministry, if you're serving in a rural church ministry and you have a need, you might keep this in mind, because each year the seminary will be making those grants, and we're grateful for the opportunity to do that and announce those to you today. We're also delighted today to have one other announcement by Joe Hamill, of something that you need to be aware of. So Joe, would you come and make that announcement?
The 1994 Spring Conference is just around the corner with exciting speakers like Dr. Jimmy Draper and Dr. Howard Snyder coming. And with all big events like this, a lot of students will sometimes begin formulating excuses to why they're not going to attend this conference. And what we've done is we've collected a survey of the top five excuses that students at Southeastern give for not participating in the Spring Conference. So these are the top five excuses students at Southeastern give for not participating in the 1994 Spring Conference. Number five, it'll take me all week to photocopy Dr. Aiken's systematic theology notes. Number four, I thought the keynote speaker was going to be Jimmy Johnson instead of Jimmy Draper. Number three, I'm still trying to figure out what Dr. Richardson was talking about in systematic theology. Number two, I promised Dr. Robinson that I'd listen to his rendition of Bob Dylan's Slow Train Coming. And the number one excuse that students at Southeastern are giving for not participating in the Spring Conference is, I've got an appointment to get my hair styled like Dr. Patterson. Actually, if you're looking for something practical to help in your ministry, you can probably find it at the Spring Conference. You'll have a chance to talk with and listen to experts, and donuts will be provided at the Ledford Center on Tuesday and Wednesday. Thank you very much.
And we thank you, David Letterman. And that was actually what John Davis told me to say. And so, in any event, thank you for the announcement and the reminder. We're delighted to have with us as our speaker today, a precious friend of our school, Dr. Fred Wolf, pastor of the Cottage Hill Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. I'm going to tell you two things about him. One thing he probably knows I'm going to tell and wishes I wouldn't. But when you go into a pastorate, you have to stay on your toes. You never know what's going to happen. Brother Fred got up to preach one Sunday not too long ago. And just as he got up to preach, a fellow materialized. This is on his television service. And the fellow was standing at the front in a Mardi Gras suit with a mask on and a python, a live python, draped around his shoulders. And so Brother Fred, in all of his ministerial dignity, said to him, what do you want? And the man said something about he was going to speak, and Fred, Brother Fred rebuked him in the name of the Lord. And the man looked at him and he said, well, Jesus I know and Paul I've heard of, but who are you? And Fred told him, Brother Fred said, if you're so pious, well, what are you doing standing there with a mask on? And the fellow tore off his mask and threw the python at his feet. And so when it was all over, Brother Fred went home, took a long nap that afternoon, and hoped fervently that word of that didn't spread all over the convention. However, by 2 o'clock that afternoon, I'd had several phone calls about it. And the nice thing is we have that preserved forever on color videotape. And so, folks, let me urge you to stay awake in your services. You never know what's going to happen when you stand up to preach on the Lord's Day. Now, I can also tell you something else about Fred Wolf, though. I can also tell you that here is a precious servant of God who every single day of his life is exactly what you see him to be in the pulpit. What he preaches, he practices. He has built a great soul-winning church at Cottage Hill Baptist Church. They have more than nearly 10,000 members now in the church there, with an annual attendance of more than 2,100. And it is at the present time the largest Baptist church in the state of Alabama. And he is a graduate of the University of South Carolina, where he was there on a football scholarship, and has authored a number of books, and has agreed that he would allow himself to be nominated for the presidency of the convention this next year. We're so grateful to have our friend and fellow servant, Dr. Fred Wolf, here. The Mayo Chorale, under the direction of John Davis, is going to sing for us, and then we want you to listen with open mind and heart to our brother, Dr. Fred Wolf.
Praise the Lord for the opportunity to be here today and to share with you from the Word of God. It's a joy to be with my dear brother and friend, Paige Patterson. I love him and appreciate him. The story about the snake and the man with the dog is true, but he didn't give you the true version. Sometime when I have time, I'll tell you about that. I want you to take your Bibles this morning. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And we're going to speak this morning about living with confidence in the presence of God. You see, the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of who? The brethren. And the reason he accuses us is to destroy or to try to wipe out our confidence before God. But today, how can you, day in and day out, live with unshakable confidence in the presence of Holy God? Let's pray together, and then I will share the Word of God. Father, the words of the hymn express my prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. And Father, I pray today that this word would bring forth lasting fruit in every life. Father, we don't want to just be informed or inspired. Almighty God, we want to be eternally changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Adam and Eve were created to live in the presence of God. And before they sinned, that is exactly where they lived. They lived in His presence. But after Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible tells us that they heard the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. Get this. And it said, and Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Tragedy. Created to live in the presence of God. But now because of sin in their life, hiding from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. Now the secret or the importance of living in God's presence is found in the Psalms when the psalmist said, you will show me the path of life. And then he said, in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So we were created to live in the presence of God. And that's where fullness of joy is. And that is where pleasure is. One of the saddest pictures in the Bible, though, was when God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden and set cherubims at the gate so they could not get in. You see, there's more than just a man and a woman being driven out of the garden. You know the tragedy? I can see them leaving the presence of God. Do you understand? You were created to live in His presence. I was created to live in His presence. But the tragedy is this, and the Bible teaches this, that from Adam to Jesus, nobody lived in the presence of God. You say, what do you mean, Brother Fred? I mean exactly that. Oh, there are occasions, maybe on the mountain when Moses got somewhat into the presence of God. Oh, there are occasions when God's presence would be there. But I'm telling you, day by day, week in and week out, from Adam to Jesus, nobody lived in the presence of God. And that was a tragedy. We were created to live in His presence, and in His presence there is fullness of joy. You say, Brother Fred, how do you know that nobody lived in the presence of God from Adam to Jesus? You know how I know it? Through the tabernacle. Do you understand that there were 40 chapters in the Bible devoted to the tabernacle? More than was devoted to the crucifixion of Christ. Why in the world, in God's inspired and errant word, did He put in there 40 chapters on the tabernacle? Let me tell you one of the reasons. You see, there were three areas in that tabernacle. There was the outer court, in which there was the brazen altar and the bronze laver. And then there was what was called the inner court, in which there was the table of showbread, the candlestick, the altar of incense. And then there was a thick veil. And behind the thick veil was known as what? The Holy of Holies. Oh, the people operated in the outer court. The priest ministered daily in the inner court. But into the Holy of Holies, only once a year did the high priest go. And not without blood. Why? What was the message of the veil? What was the message of the Holy of Holies? If you have your Bibles open, look in Hebrews chapter 9. And we'll see the message of the tabernacle and the message of the veil. Look at verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 9. But into the second, the Holy of Holies. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself, and for the sins of the people. But look at verse 8.
the Holy Spirit, thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while the first tabernacle was still standing. You see, that scarlet veil was a reminder of one thing, and that was this, that sent from Adam forward, nobody could live in the Holy of Holies. Nobody could live in the presence of God. I want you to understand the veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies said to every Hebrew and to everyone, you can't live in the presence of God. But the tragedy is, we were created to live in His presence. Now I want to ask you a question this morning and then answer it. How do you and I not only get into the presence of God, but how do we live in His presence with unshakable confidence? Can I be honest? You know how most Baptists believe you get into the presence of God? It is tragic but true that most Baptists believe that you get in the presence of God based on your performance. Did you know that? You say to a Baptist, man, how do you get inside the veil? How do you live in the Holy of Holies? How do you enjoy the unbroken presence of Almighty God? How do you live in His holy presence? And they say, well, they begin to talk to you about their performance. Someone will say, well, I'll tell you how you get inside the veil. And I'll tell you how you live in His presence. It is through the diligent memorization and study and love of the Word of God. Please listen to me. You can't love this book too much. You can't study this book too much. It cannot be too much a part of your life. I want to tell you, as I studied this book, I'm not finding hidden flaws. I'm finding hidden treasures in this precious book. I believe it more than I ever have in my life. But do you understand that you don't get inside the veil and you don't live in His presence with confidence through the reading of the Word of God? That's not how you get there. You say, well, I'll tell you how you get in the presence of God and live there. The way you get into His presence and live there with unshakable confidence is by having a vital prayer life. I cannot tell you how strong I believe in prayer. In fact, if you've got a letter from our church, you know what the motto of our church is this? You know what it is? My house shall be called a house of prayer. For 20 years, we've had an intercessory prayer room where people give an hour a day. Our whole church is founded on prayer. And I'm telling you, my friend, you can do a lot of things after you pray, but you can't do anything until you do pray. But you don't get into His presence and live there with confidence because of your prayer life. You say, well, I'll tell you how I'm going to get in there and live there. I'm going to get in His presence and live there because I'm going to be a faithful witness for Jesus. You see, witnessing is not optional for a child of God. He said, you shall receive power and you shall be witnesses unto me. Yes, we are witnesses. And I mean every one of us, every day by our life and our lips are to witness. But I want you to understand that you don't get inside the veil and you don't live in His presence with unshakable confidence based upon your witnessing. You say, well, I'll tell you what. If I can't get in there by reading the Bible, and if I can't get in there by praying, and if I don't get inside the veil and live in His presence by witnessing, I'll get serious about it. I'll do it by tithing. Brother, I'll give 10%. Above that, I'll give offerings. Praise God. You know, the Bible says we're to give cheerfully, we're to give generously, and you can't outgive God. But that's not how you get in there. Somebody says, well, I'll tell you how I'll get in there. I'll just be a servant. I'll have a servant's heart. Man, I'll lay down my life for the brethren, and I'll be a servant. And you know, you can't be too great a servant. Jesus said, he that would be greatest among you, let him be your what? Servant. And we need to be servants, but that's not how you get inside the veil. That's not how you live with unshakable confidence in His presence. You say, well, I'll be faithful in church attendance. Now, I'll be honest with you. If you ask the average Baptist, how are you going to get into God's presence and live there with confidence? They talk about reading their Bible, and they talk about praying, and they talk about witnessing, and they talk about giving, and they talk about serving, and they talk about attending. And I want to tell you, my friend, that's important, and you ought to do it. But listen to me. You don't do that to get in there. You do that after you're in there. You say, all right, Brother Fred, how do you get in the presence of God and live there? You remember the holy place? Man, there was the table of showbread and the candlestick, you know, and the altar of incense. But then there was that thick veil separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And it said, you can't go in there into His presence. By the way, did you know if you could get into the presence of God by your performance, reading your Bible, and praying, giving, and witnessing, guess who the first people that would have been in there? The Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees read the Word. They prayed. They gave. They served. they ministered. You see, if you could get into the presence of God and live there based on your performance, the first ones in would have been the Pharisees. But the truth is, you do not get inside the veil based on your performance. But I got good news. I'm going to tell you how you get in. And you live there with confidence. Turn to Matthew 27. Now, if you got any shout in you, this will make a Baptist shout. I'll tell you that right now, friend. I never get cease to be excited about this. As I get to this point in this message where I understand how in the world you get inside the veil and live in the Holy of Holies in the presence of God with all with unshakable confidence. You see, the truth is, you do not get into His presence based on performance. You get into His presence based on provision. Matthew 27, verse 46. We're getting a graphic picture of the crucifixion of the Son of God. At about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I'm telling you, there's a good sermon in this, just a sideline. Got a friend of mine that's got a message on hell through the eyes of Calvary. And he says that hell is a God-forsaken place. And so Jesus Christ, my God, why have you forsaken me on the cross? So we'd never have to cry that in hell. Shows about four or five ways. But here he is on the cross, the Son of God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Someone says he's calling for Elijah. Verse 48, they take a sponge, fill it with vinegar, and put it on a reed and give him to drink. They said, let's see if Elijah will come and save him. Verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, and we all know what he said what? It is, hallelujah, not I am finished, it is finished. It is finished. But wait a minute. Look at verse 51. They'd been waiting this from Adam to Jesus. Everybody had been looking for this. He cries, it is finished. Perfect provision has been made. And verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent. Listen, when Jesus Christ offered the perfect sacrifice for sin forever, I am telling you, holy God reached down from heaven, took that scarlet veil between the holy place and holy of holies that shut us out from His presence. He ripped it from top to bottom and He said, welcome into my presence. And He welcomed us into His presence, not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus did. You see, the devil's the accuser of the brethren. And if you're trusting your performance to get you into the Holy of Holies and keep you there, he will always be accusing your performance and it will never match up. But I want to say to you this morning, if you're trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, if you're trusting in the all-sufficient blood of the Son of God, I am telling you, you have confidence to live in the presence of God. Because the perfect provision of Jesus Christ never, ever changes. And we get into the presence of God and we live there inside the veil because of the perfect provision of Jesus. Now, let me take a moment and just show it to you in Hebrews. I'm just going to hit it quickly. First of all, the reason we can live inside the veil with confidence is because Jesus went inside the veil before us. You see, He went in there before us. He died on the cross, offered the perfect sacrifice for sin. God tore the veil from top to bottom and said, "Welcome into my presence." But we can live in God's presence with confidence inside the veil because Jesus went in before us. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, okay? He went in before us. We're reading these words in Hebrews 6, 19. Which hope, talking about our salvation, we have as an anchor of the soul. We've got an anchor for our soul that is not going to be moved. Both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil. Our anchor this morning is within the veil. Our hope is within the veil in the very presence of God. Verse 20. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Brothers, listen to me today. You and I can live with confidence in the Holy of Holies, in the presence of God. And in the Holy of Holies, man, we can read the Bible and we can pray and we can give and we can witness and we can serve. We can do all that in the Holy of Holies in the presence of God because I want to tell you, Jesus Christ went in there before us. He prepared the way. But not only did Jesus go in before us, the reason we can live in the Holy of Holies in the presence of God is because he went in for us. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, the 9th chapter of Hebrews. Yes, he went in before us, but praise God, when he went into the Holy of Holies, he went in there for us. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Jesus said, "It is finished." The Father tore the veil of the temple from top to bottom. Now he said, just welcome into my presence. Just come and live in my presence, not based on what you do, but on what Jesus did. And I want you to notice that he not only went in before us, he went in for us. Verse 11 of chapter 9. But Christ, becoming a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. He's talking about the tabernacle that was in heaven, of which the earthly tabernacle was simply a symbol. But Christ, being a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Now get this. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. On the Day of Atonement, that earthly high priest would with fear and trembling push aside the scarlet veil, having a rope tied around his ankle so that if he died in there, he could pull him out because nobody could live in his presence. He would push aside that veil, and with the blood of goats and calves for his own sins and the sins of the people, he would go into that earthly holy of holies, and he'd sprinkle the mercy seat with the blood of goats and calves, and that would take care of their sins for another year. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Jesus Christ did not go into an earthly tabernacle made with hands. I want you to know that he went into heaven itself. Jesus Christ went into heaven itself, and there, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he went up to the heavenly mercy seat, and he sprinkled it forever with his precious blood. And I want to tell you, because the mercy seat in heaven is covered with the blood of Christ, you can live with confidence in the presence of God. What is our confidence? He went into the Holy of Holies before us, but he went in for us with his own blood, and he has covered the mercy seat in heaven with the blood of Christ, and we are welcome because of that into the presence of God. Now, when you're in his presence, and by the way, if you're saved, you're in his presence. I mean, you're in, and the devil can't get you out. You say, what if I sin? I'll tell you, if you sin in his presence, holy God will convict you. When was it that Isaiah saw his sin? It was when he saw the Lord. It was in his presence that he saw his sin. He said, I saw the Lord, and then I said, woe is me. The devil says to the Christian, you're not good enough to get in his presence. You say, you're right, I never was good enough. But I'm in, not because of my goodness, but because of the perfect sacrifice of the Son of God. You see, we have confidence today because Jesus went in before us. And with the perfect, precious blood of Jesus, he paved the way for us to live in the presence of God. Look at chapter 9, verse 24. You see, the reason we can live with confidence in God's presence is because Jesus went in before us, but he also went in for us. Verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, and he went into heaven. Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Why? Get this. To appear in the presence of God for who? Us. What is our confidence this morning? Well, I prayed enough. I read the Bible enough. I witnessed enough. I gave enough. Listen, the accuser of the brethren will accuse you, and it'll never be enough. But our confidence this morning is this. Hey, I am in God's presence, not because of what I do, but because of what Jesus did. And now that I'm in his presence through his precious blood, man, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to give, and I'm going to serve. Listen to this. Not because I have to, but because I want to. I'm not doing it to get in. I'm doing it because I'm in by the blood of the Son of God. You see, it's not by performance. It is by provision that we live in the presence of God. Let me show you one other passage. Look at chapter 10. You see, the reason we can live with confidence in the presence of God, in the Holy of Holies, is that Jesus went in before us. He also went in for us. Look at verse 11 of Hebrews 10. And every high priest stands daily ministering and offering the same sacrifices which could never take away sin. Hey, but look at this. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, from henceforth experiencing till his enemies be made his footstool. Now here's our confidence. Look at verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those that are being sanctified. Who's that? That's the saved children of God. By one offering, he has perfected forever those that are being sanctified. Understand today, we can live with confidence in his presence because of the perfect, complete, sufficient sacrifice of Jesus. We are in through the blood of Christ. I want you to turn now to Hebrews 10. Look at verse 19. I'll show you two things and I'm through, okay? How we live with confidence in his presence. And the next time the accuser of the brethren says, well, you didn't pray enough, you didn't read the Bible enough, you didn't witness enough, you didn't give enough, so therefore you can't really serve God. You say, you're a liar. I can serve him not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did. My confidence is not in my performance, it's in his provision. And because he's done so much for me, I want to serve him with all my heart. But now look at verse 19, and don't miss this. The whole purpose of this message is living with confidence in the presence of God. Now look at verse 19. You're going to see that word. Having therefore, brethren, boldness is one translation. Confidence is the other. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest, because you've prayed enough, read the Bible enough, given enough, served enough. What does it say? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest, what? By the blood of Jesus. I understand that. Look at verse 22. Because of the blood of Christ, let us draw near with a true heart. You can just draw near. Full assurance of faith, I'm in through the blood of Christ. I'm in by his perfect sacrifice. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He says in verse 19, having boldness to enter his holiest by the blood of Jesus. We're in by his provision. One more, Hebrews 4. Again, that word confidence is used. Again, that word boldness is used. He's talking about that we have confidence in God's presence because of the perfect provision of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. That was Jesus. He went into the Holy of Holies of heaven with his own blood, sprinkled the mercy seat. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let's just hold fast our profession. Let's don't get discouraged. Let's don't let the accuser beat us down. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, here it is. Let us therefore come, what? Boldly. There it is. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find confidence to help us in the time of need. Would you listen to me? We're constantly in a battle with the accuser of the brethren. And I want to say to you today that if your confidence before God is based on your performance, it will never, ever, ever be enough. But I say to you with authority that if your confidence this morning to live in his presence, if your confidence is the precious blood of Jesus, if your confidence is in the perfect, perfect sacrifice of Jesus, that confidence can never be shaken because his provision never changes. Have you ever wondered why the early hymn writers wrote so much about the blood of Christ? I believe I understand, because they knew that that was their confidence in God's presence. Let me close with the words of a hymn you know. But listen to it. My hope is built on nothing less than what? Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Would you pray with me for a moment? Father, with all of our hearts, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can enter the Holy of Holies and live there through the blood of Christ. Our confidence this morning, O God, is not in our performance. Lord, the desire of our heart is to pray more and to read more and to serve more. Lord, our desire is to do all of those things. God, we're thanking you we're not doing it so we can get into your presence. That all of our performance is because we're in your presence. And we're there forever. Saved by his blood. Yes, forever we are there through the provision of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, John Davis, get ready. We're going to sing as we leave this morning, "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." All right, he's going to find a page number four, so you know that first verse. That's all we're going to sing is just the first verse, and then we'll be dismissed. But I want to tell you, that's the gospel that Brother Fred Wolf has preached this morning, as clear a presentation as I've ever heard of what it is all about. If you understand that this morning, you're a New Testament Christian. That's the great watershed of all belief right there. Thank you, Fred Wolf, for making that presentation to us. Stand with us, would you? John, what number?
406.
406, if you have to have it.